often do you find yourself studying and thinking about and meditating on the Word of God? It's something that we talk about from time to time. It's something that we, I don't know if we emphasize it enough, but studying the Word of God is something that's very vital in our lives. So we're gonna look at that for just a few moments this morning, see why it is it's vital that we study God's Word. Why is it that we do it privately? Why is it that we do it publicly? And it's so important as Christians today. It's something that's really required by God. He required it in the old days. In the Old Testament, they would periodically would read the law. And Ezra the priest did it as well. In Nehemiah chapter 8, it says so in verse 8, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. So he brought the law of God in front of the congregation of the people in order to read it. And they would do that, as I mentioned, periodically in order to see what God expected from them. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will do what? The truth will make you free. We want to be free from sin. We want to be free from death. If we know the truth and what God expects from us, then we'll have that freedom. Freedom is something that we all, I think, as human beings, as people, enjoy, we want. We certainly, as children of God, or people that are trying to be diligent in the Word of God, we want to be free from sin, free from those distractions of the world. So if we're truly seeking the truth, we're going to find that freedom. So we should rightly be dividing the Word. We have to have the proper respect for the Word of God. Some people, I think, just truly don't respect the Word of God. As they open it, as they read it, we have to read it in a way where we understand the importance of that Bible study each time that we take that opportunity to open up the Word of God. We should always study the Bible in a way that we should obey it. How do we look at the Bible? Are we looking at it in a way that it's going to justify our actions? People do. Are we looking at it in a way where we're going to condemn other people? Some people like to do that. But when we're opening the Word of God, and each time that we study the Word of God, we need to see, how does this text, how is what I'm studying, how is what's being presented apply to me and help me be a better servant in the kingdom of God? Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. How many congregations have been destroyed? How many Christians have went wayward because they didn't have the knowledge that they needed? How could they have gotten that knowledge? By studying the Word of God, by being prepared when the issues come up, when questions come up, how to be more pleasing in God's sight. The word study there means it's more than just a casual or an infrequent reading. That's not what studying means. Studying means to exert oneself, to endeavor, to give diligence. Is Bible study an easy thing to do? No, it's not. It takes effort. Just like anything else that we want to be good at, anything else in our life that we want to be better at, whether it's our career, whether it's something physical, whether it's our relationships, it takes a lot of work. And Bible study is no different than any of those things. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of work for us to understand what the Word of God is and to make those applications. Well, let's look at a couple of reasons that we should study the Word of God. Let's sort of turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, we will start in verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 17, says, you therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be both the glory now and forever. If we're spiritually growing like we should, we're going to be safeguarding ourselves from false doctrines. Over the last several weeks and Wednesday night, we've been studying 1 John. We've been looking at some false doctrines that John was running into when he was trying to communicate to these Christians. So if we're going to be preparing ourselves, if we're going to be growing like we should, it will help us when things come up. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, says, therefore laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We deserve that. We desire that milk. And as we're growing, we're desiring that meat of the word of God. And what does that word of God do for us? It tells us that. It helps us grow. And if we fail to grow in the word of God, we're not going to be able to discern those things that are right and those things that are wrong. Those things that are coming out, there are sometimes there are new things that come out. Actually, they've probably been around for years and years. But it may affect us in one way or the other, and we have to be prepared when these things arise. The scriptures are profitable for us. But what are they profitable for? As Paul is writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to see the all-sufficiency of the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is God-breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. Why is it given for us? It tells us that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what the word of God will do for us. It's going to equip us for the work that we should do. So those scriptures are profitable for us. It's profitable for us in our everyday life. It's profitable for us as an individual, and as individuals, we make up the body of Christ in the local congregation. So it's profitable. It's also to approve of God and rightly dividing the word. We started off with 2 Timothy chapter 2, rightly dividing with a tent-making term, cutting straight. As we're rightly dividing the word of God, we should do it properly. But that takes study. That takes effort. Sometimes we pick and choose things that we read. We may take those things out of context. Sometimes we use these as our proof text of why we believe what we believe. But if we're truly rightly dividing that word, we're gonna see what the Lord wants from us. We're gonna get the whole picture from the Word of God. These man-made creeds, they do one of two things. They're either gonna add to the Word of God, which is basically saying, God, you didn't give us enough. Or it's taking away from the Word of God. It's not enough of what the Word of God is saying. So we're going to either add to or we're going to take away from the Word of God. We're saying that God, what He has given us is not sufficient for what we need. We're going to help you out, God. We're going to give you something else. That's what man thinks sometimes. And studying also will help us to recognize false doctrines. There are a lot of false things that are taught in the Christian world. There are a lot of false things that are taught in the religious world today. How can we discern if these things that we're being taught from someone standing up with us, in front of us, someone we're listening to, someone sitting with us trying to teach us, how do we know if what they're teaching is truly from the Word of God? That's what our studying will do. It's going to help us to be equipped to deal with these things. False doctrines can be taught by using the Bible. Satan quoted scriptures, did he not, when he was with Jesus? He quoted scriptures or he misquoted scriptures. He used the truth to speak lies. And that's done today. People use the truth, but they speak lies with the truth. So we have to be mindful of that. Start with 1 John chapter 4. If John is continuously dealing with Gnosticism, these individuals that are teaching false doctrine. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. In chapter 2, when you go back to chapter 2, he talks about Antichrist, those that are in active opposition to our Lord and Savior, those that are against Him, those who are trying to take the place of our Lord. Those were antichrists who had went out from John, or the group that John was writing to. But as he's telling them in verse 1 of here, or our verse 1, don't believe these individuals. You've got to test them to make sure what they're teaching is true. Now, the early church would have had individuals, if they were endowed with some of those gifts of the Holy Spirit, where they could discern those types of spirits. Maybe John had those in this group he is writing to. But for us today, how do we test those spirits? How do we test if what's being told to us, what's being taught to us, is the Word of God? What do we examine it by? The Word of God. Is what you're saying in harmony with the Word of God? If it is, that's great. If it's not, that's no blame, right? It's no good. We've got to figure out if what I'm teaching is back from the Word of God. Finally, we're going to be judged by that Word. In John chapter 12, as Jesus talks here, starting in verse 48, it says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words, as that which judges him, the word which I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." We're going to be judged by our Bible, by the Word of God. He said, this didn't come from me. This came from the Father. So if you're going to reject me, guess what? That means you're rejecting the Father. So we have the Word of God which will judge us in that day. Doesn't it make sense that we should be familiar with what's going to be on the final test? Because that's what's going to determine our eternity, okay, and God's grace. But we need to know what He expects from us. Diligently studying the Word of God. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Here Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." What does that gospel do? It's like a piece of dynamite. It's very explosive. It's very powerful. That's what the Word of God does for us, how strong it is. So why do we need to study the Bible? We have several reasons why we need to be diligent in studying the Bible. Why is it that you think that people fail to study the Word of God, though? There's some reasons if you examine your life that you just don't get around to studying the Bible like you should. Maybe you don't take opportunities or take the opportunities that have been provided to have Bible studies, Bible classes. Why is it that people on their own just don't study the Word of God? Well, I think some people are just too busy. If you work all day, if you have a job and you get home, what do? You have your family time and you have your meal. Then you take a little break and you want to veg out. That's most of us in here, right? Guilty. We're all guilty of that. If you have stuff on your plate all day long, what keeps us from serving, from studying like we should? We've got to pick a time of the day where we carve out and say, you know what? I am busy from 6 in the morning to 9 at night or 10 at night. I can carve out something during my evening or morning. Maybe you get up in the morning, and that's your Jesus time, where you get some time in of studying the Word of God. Whatever it is that works into our schedule, if we're constantly feeding and feasting on the Word of God, how much better do you think you will be as a Christian today and next week and the week after that? But the fact is, we're all busy. And we get tired, and we don't feel like doing anything at the end of the day. Is that a good excuse for why we don't study the Word of God? We have to make an effort. We have to make a commitment. If this is something that we're interested in, then do it. If you're very interested in a lot of things in our life, and you know what? We make time for it. We make effort for it. Even when we don't feel like it, we're like Nike. We just do it. But we can't do that in Bible study for some reason. What gets in our way? Well, we can find time to do the things that we want. That's not going to help us in eternity. Ephesians chapter 5. Here Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or carefully, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Be careful how you're walking. Be careful what you're doing with your time. A lot of us as Christians are sleepwalking through our spiritual life. We're walking around, we're not getting the job done. We're coasting through life, we don't have the zeal that we should have in our everyday service to the Lord. and in our Bible study. We should make the most out of our opportunities. Maybe it's rerun season. We're almost on the winter break, folks. Make up your Bible reading again. Whatever the case may be. Take the time. Take the best of our opportunities to learn the Word of God, and then we can share the Word of God when we have those opportunities. When sin abounds, people are more difficult to turn to the Word of God. Now, another reason is people just don't like to study. How were you in school? Did you like to study? Well, until you got burnt out. This is something that we have to develop an ability to do, is just to study. It's more than reading. That's great. That's a good starting point. It's actually focusing on the Word of God. It's meditating on the Word of God. If you're a musician and you're trying to get better at playing an instrument, if you're an artist and you're trying to get better at art, you just don't pick it up and it's just easy. Generally for you, you have to put some effort into it and develop appreciation for that. So we have to develop an appreciation for the Word of God. Over to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, I appreciate it so much. I can read that song this morning. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than they than gold, even much fine gold. It's sweeter also than a honey and a honeycomb. Word God is. We truly are looking at it like we should. I think finally some people just don't know how to study. Maybe they look at the Word of God and say, you know what, I just don't get it. I just don't know how to effectively study. And we've had classes on how to study the Bible. And those are good to have from time to time. But I think some people just have a hard time because they don't know how to study, how to be effectively studying the Word of God. But that's something that we should work on, is learning how to do it, if it's important to us. If it's something that's very important to us, we learn how to do it. You want to operate your remote control? Guess what? You learn how to do it. You're doing heart surgery? Guess what? You learn how to do it. And when we're doing our spiritual work, we have to find a way or ask someone to help us. What are some rules that we're going to look at finally of observing when we're reading and studying the scriptures? I think that will help us. First of all, we need to consider who is speaking. When we're reading something, who is talking in our reading? In Genesis chapter 2, it says, "For in the day that you will eat of it, you shall surely die." Who is speaking there? And then in chapter 3, it says, "You will not surely die." Who is speaking? You've got God speaking on one account, and then you've got the serpent speaking on the other account. So who is speaking here? If we look at this, just the one passage, it says, you won't surely die. Well, this is okay. There's no reason that she shouldn't have eaten of the fruit and given to her husband. So we have to take that into consideration, is who is that? Matthew chapter 11, it talks about how Jesus is described as a gluttonous man and a wine bibber. Wow, Jesus loved to drink and he loved to eat. He went to the all-you-can-eat Jewish buffet. That's what that says, right? No, who is speaking there? So who is doing the talking when we're reading our scriptures? And we have to understand who is being spoken to. Sometimes he speaks, the word is spoken to a particular person. Sometimes it's spoken to a particular group of people or nation of people. Sometimes it's spoken to mothers. Sometimes it's spoken to elders. Who is being spoken to, and how can I use that in my Bible study? Next, learn what the writer is trying to accomplish. Over 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 14. Verse 12 says, "Now I say to this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified in you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Was Paul opposed to baptism? I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. Well, Paul didn't like baptism. Is that what that means? No, but there's plenty of passages that he talks about baptism. Who baptized you? Ooh, Paul. I'm better than you because guess what? Paul baptized me. Who baptized you? Frank? Who's he? See how much better I am because of how important I am? So we have to look and see, what was the writer trying to say when he's writing this? These types of statements. Next, we have to recognize figurative language. There are some things in the Bible that are figurative. We've spent 6 months studying the book of Revelation. There's a little bit of figurative language in the book of Revelation, okay? So there's some figurative language throughout the scriptures. What does this mean? How does this mean? What does this mean to me? And we have to study with the desire to obey. We have to look at these scriptures and say, you know what? I've got to care about my brother or sister in Christ. I'm going to skip that passage. All those 91 other passages or whatever it is, I'm not going to read those because I don't want to obey them. Do we truly don't want to obey the Word of God? Do we really want to be better children of God? Better Christians? Better society members? Better husbands and wives and parents and children? Do we want to be better people? That requires us looking at some things and doing self-examinations to read the Word of God. We must do that. Finally, we should know how the Bible is divided. There are divisions in the Bible itself. What are those divisions? Why do we have books of poetry? We've got books of prophecy. We've got letters to Christians and letters to congregations. Why are these so divided? And we've got two books. Two big books. 66 books. Yeah, we did. Bunch of chapters. What are the divisions? Of course, these are man-made divisions. We understand that when the Bible was put together. The reason, the way they put those things together. So we have to understand the division marks. Oftentimes, they would break the context in a chapter just for a chapter break, and you've got the same contextual setting going on. So we have to keep that in mind as we're studying. But we have different divisions of the Bible. What each division is significant, who it's written to. So it's so important for us today as children of God to study the Word of God. If you want to get better, be a better hunter, guess what? You practice. You want to be a better cook, guess what? You cook. You want to be a better child of God, guess what? You study the Word of God. And be teachable. Where it's not teachable. You look this morning in our Bible class. If you missed it, you missed a very class. Six things that the Lord hates. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. A proud look. Someone that's not teachable. I'm better than you. I don't need this business. Let's not be that way. Let's not be having a proud look. Well, we're not a teachable individual. That's what the Lord wants. That's our lesson this morning. We assist you anyway with your walk with the Lord. We're going to invite you to come. We stand and sing a song of encouragement.